friends. Welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater podcast.
I am Reagan,
a.k.a. the Man Hater, and this is Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Hello, everybody. I don't even know how we sound.
No. You got to talk about Lincolns.
I love Lincolns.
Yeah, the car. Didn't he?
All right. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, when I'm driving in my Lincoln, I'm Matthew McConaughey.
When I'm driving in when my I'm Lincoln, I am Matthew McConaughey.
In my Lincoln. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right. When I'm driving in my Lincoln.
Chesco, the picker of me's. Picker of me pick. Mr. Picks.
Just spit
pick
everywhere.
Your sports bets. We're sponsored by...
Sports betting, no.
Sports pick no. My me's. Pick your me's on sports bets. Who do you have your money on today, Reagan?
Wow, the Red Jackals.
The Red Jackals.
I don't know. I made up a team.
I'm going to really – I really like baseball and basketball. Those are my two favorite sports to watch.
Okay.
And I really hate the Dodgers, which is weird because I live in Los Angeles, but I'm from San Francisco. And so I feel I'm in a weird torn position right now where I have so many friends that are Dodgers fans and I want them to be happy, but I also hate the Dodgers. It's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be a lot more I had a lot more invested. I don't know where would I actually hurt my feelings if the Dodgers did well. Now I'm like, I don't know. I think I had a revelation a few years back. Where I realized I was like, why am I so angry about something so inconsequential that I have no control over? Like with sport, this shocks a lot of people, but I used to be a huge sports fan. I'm still a big sports fan, but I'm not like, I was a stereotype where I'd be like, no, our team is, we're better than your team, fucking sucks. I hate your fucking team. I wouldn't say that out loud, but inside, that's how I was feeling, right? And I remember I mentioned I'm a Giants fan. Like our old closer, Brian Wilson, was our closer there when we won the World Series. He went to the Dodgers, and I remember it made me sick. Like I remember actually being it affected me for weeks. Where I was like, no. Luckily, he wasn't good for the Dodgers, so it didn't hurt too bad. But it actually hurt me. And it was right when I had, I was a newer father. And I remember thinking, I was like, why do I care? Why am I so – there's no reason. I don't invest in this team, right? I don't play for them. They don't know I exist, right? There's no – nothing I have – there's nothing I've put into anything they've done well. None of their championships were a result of because I cheered a little louder that day or because I was watching them on probably illegally streaming them because I live in L.A. Nobody should admit that online. But I used to be so mad about it. And I was like, what's the point? Why am I so angry? I don't get as angry anymore. But the Dodgers still, there's that underlying part of me that does not want them to win.
I have nothing but apathy for sports. I complete indifference. Couldn't tell you. Somebody says, oh, did you watch the game? Which one? What sport? Which team? But I became very skilled at faking like I knew it was going on so much that my dad's best friend had a son that was 4 years younger than me. But we had an ongoing rivalry where he truly believed I was a diehard sports fan for whatever team was against his. And we would text each other and I would give him shit all the time. I don't even know what team I was rooting for to this day. I think he liked the Razorbacks. I don't know. Arizona. Or Arizona, not Arkansas, I mean. See?
It was a college team too.
All teams. Yeah, I would just start shit and I would make it up and I'd listen to the things he would say and I would retort back with something just to fuck with him. Because that's what everybody was doing and I was like, I can get it on this with zero information. Mm-hmm. It was passable. It was not until we were adults that I was like, I don't know anything about this. I can't keep this ruse going. I literally couldn't care less.
I think the other side of it is that's why like that's the one thing I know I can talk to other like random dudes about is sports, like other men. I'm like, all right, we'll talk about it. But the problem is I don't. And so like my wife will always be like, if we go to an event or something and there's other, like, mm-hmm. well, you, I know you watch them. I see you watch them. I know. And I'm more of a stats guy. Like I'll spend all this time like undergoing mm-hmm. all the advanced stats. I love numbers. Right. And so I'll go to them and I'm like, but I feel like you voted for Donald Trump. I don't want to share this joy. This is my joy. I don't want this joy to be a shared experience with you. Yeah, just because we might like the same sports team or might like the mm-hmm. same sport, I don't want to enjoy that with you. I don't like – this is my joy. I'm not going to give you some extra insights for your fantasy team. Or I'm not going to help you win your league.
I have always had a deeply antagonistic relationship with men, even though I'm friends with men. Like, I get along mm-hmm. great with men, but I feel like my favorite thing is giving shit to men and, like, and mm-hmm. back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. I'm down for just, like banter back and forth. But, yeah, so that was the only reason I ever got involved in the game was, like, let me start some shit.
All right, this isn't what our – all right, we should probably get to the show, but this isn't the clip I brought in today. But there's been a lot of conversations of a lot of guys. This could actually be – you know what? Let's start on this conversation. Let's go to the theme song.
What?
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Happening right now.
I want to talk about something because this is an actual discussion I want to talk about that this is not what we're going to discuss today.
Is it about sports? Because I will have nothing to
no,
say.
No, it's not. But it's this okay. reminded me, the sports conversation reminded me of it. There's been a lot of guys talking about their private group texts or group chats.
Oh, God. Online. I thought you were going to say privates.
About their group, and they're all like, well, I mean, and it's like, it's left-leaning guys that I know, that I like, that are also saying it. It's like, there's not a political realm, because it all started the discussion about the young Republicans. We talked about that before a little bit.
So just so everybody's aware of what we're talking about, because we're getting on a roll here. We're talking about the fact that men are now coming out saying they have private chats or referencing these private chats that they have.
These group chats that they're with, like
with
these
other
group
men.
Texts with their close friends. Right. And it all started with like the whole young Republican.
The middle-aged Republicans.
The middle-aged Republican, the young Republicans, which for Republicans, 40 is pretty young. That's how the conversation started. And there will be guys like saying, oh, no, that's terrible. Having said that, I'd also feel real bad if my private – and I'm like, I'm watching. And you see all these guys – they'll see all these people responding. They're like, yeah, no, see, if like my group chat with my friends got out, it would also probably look pretty – so they're like showing this weird empathy toward it. And I'm like, well, who the fuck are you – what are you saying in your group chats?
That would be my first question because like I do get – I think like in – with your friends, you say – like you are
there are things you can go to a level.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you mm-hmm. – I've sent so many random gifts. Mm-hmm. It's like gifts. That's mm-hmm. all half my things. Anyways, I don't say offensive shit though. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's a difference between like, oh, this is an inside joke where I'm being a weirdo. That's my side. I'm like, I've been very strange in this conversation mm-hmm. versus like – people being genuinely terrified if the general public were to look in their inbox or see their private chat. I feel like if you're feeling empathy for the first time for these men, but it's because you can also think about how bad it would be if your mm-hmm. private messages with your buddies got out, we have a big problem.
Right.
We have questions. More questions.
I feel like – and this is – I was trying to figure out the disconnect because I've been at a group chat with my two best friends – for 15 years, as long as we've had cell phones, we've had this chat with the three of us, like all the way back to undergrad. There's not, and I went scrolling for a while.
There's
I was like,
some
is there
drama in there?
There's we discuss stories. Serious things too, but we actually also discuss like our personal lives. Like that's the kind of stuff I wouldn't want out, like stuff. Oh, I'm dealing with, you know, things like we actually care about each other, right? Because we're long term friends.
You show each other empathy
Shocking,
and emotion,
right? But I went scroll. I was trying to, and I went back for a long time, and there was nothing that would be like cancelable, right? There's stuff, and my two best friends are, they'll say some shit that are like they're blunt and they're funny. But yeah, I thought about it. I was like, my two best friends are black men. Right? And mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's white guys. I'm wondering if these group chats are like these, what happens when you get a bunch of white guys in a private
in a silo
converse and like in a little and where they mm-hmm. feel safe to just be whatever they're thinking, right?
I feel unsafe immediately.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, oh god. But I was like, get better friends. Like honestly, if you're saying like the horrific shit, if you're saying something that made you empathize with the guys that were talking right. about like not being Nazis and all the other horrific things
yes!
they were in.
It was literally racism and not that's yeah. like when mm-hmm. when like a crime happens and then some guy's like, well, we don't know what his perspective was. Like he mm-hmm. hit 81 women with his car. Like yep.
What did they say to him before? Or you see that all the time in like in things where like where especially with like where a cop is being like clearly breaking the law in mm-hmm. harming somebody or doing some sort mm-hmm. of overreach, right? We don't get, that's a long, much longer discussion than we're gonna have for today. But yeah. like in general, it'll be something like where the cop just like hits a woman in the face with a baton or something like that. And they'll be like, well, what did she say to him? As if that justifies it. As if somehow she yeah. was like, well, was she being respectful? And then what did he say before? Nothing that deserves to be smacked in the face with a baton.
I will tell you right now, pay mm-hmm. attention to what people want to excuse or play devil's advocate mm-hmm. for. First mm-hmm. of all, the devil don't need an advocate, okay? He's got plenty of them. And he speaks mm-hmm. for himself. Actually, mm-hmm. I think it's – I don't believe in an actual devil.
Yeah, I know.
I just think men are terrible. And women. And a lot of people. But it's not a red-horned guy. Anyways, yeah. moving on. I don't know why I got a tangent about whether or not the devil exists. I just didn't want people to think that.
I need people to know. I want to be clear here. I don't want you thinking that I have.
That's what my thought was like, oh my God, they're going to think you're a Jesus freak or something, that you're into the devil.
Before you finish your rant, I do think that because I'll say God knows, or or jokingly, I'll say on the day of our Lord, October 30th or something like that. I'll say those things and I'll be like, oh wait, I wonder if people think that. Like, I meant that, like sincerely.
Anyways, back to the rant. So, I am always blown away by how much people are willing to reveal about themselves when they mm-hmm. stand up for something atrocious. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we don't really know what happened. And, I don't want to talk before the facts are. And I'm like, there are no facts around this that could mm-hmm. ever justify the action that was taken by this person. But, mm-hmm. it happens all the time. And I'm like, do you realize, it is so clear that you are saying that because you relate more to the perpetrator mm-hmm. than the victim in this specific scenario, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. Like, you relate more to this person than that person. And the mm-hmm. fact that you do, and you relate so much that you have to talk about it, mm-hmm. that makes me nervous. Like, I cannot believe people are like, oh, well, I wouldn't want my chat out. That's not something to brag about. You should think about that. You should look at yourself. Reflect.
Even if that's true, even if you did reflect on that and you're like, fuck, I have said some horrible things. You didn't need to say that. You didn't need to defend these guys. That could have just been an inside thought. And maybe you could have gone to the group chat and be like, hey guys, can we all delete what we've all ever, can we delete this chat and never reference it again? Because that is pretty fucked up. Why did we do that? Why did we think that was okay? And then you all reflect on that and you grow as people, as opposed to being like, that's what you do in group chats. It's not what you do.
Dude, I truly agree. I think you are so right when you said this is what happens when a bunch of white men get together. Mm-hmm. Because, I have had this happen in real life where, it's always one of my acting jobs. When you do, acting, you think it should be all left. It is not. Mm,
it's
there's
not. It is
very
absolutely
beliefs.
Not. Shockingly so. Some, high-ups in theater will be mm-hmm. –
I once befriended this guy on set mm-hmm. and was like, oh, he's really cool. And mm-hmm. we got along, but it was antagonistic. We were kind of mm-hmm. Kind of going at each other, which should have keyed me into something. Maybe there's something that's just adversarial here. And then I found out he has like a right-wing podcast, a Christian right-wing podcast where mm-hmm. he like posts all this crazy shit about women. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my God. Anyways, you don't know what you're going to get. So there was one time, different time that I was like in the room. I leave, I come back, and they're talking about crazy shit. And mm-hmm. I was gone for like 10 minutes, like crazy, offensive bullshit. And that's mm-hmm. how quickly the room turned when I had left. Like, mm-hmm. it is wild, like, what men will say to each other mm-hmm. when nobody's, they think nobody's watching, nobody's listening, and there's no repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
As the, this happens racially, too. I would say as a white-presenting Latino, like, when I was in Arizona especially, there when like I remember I was gonna get a haircut once, and that's such a weird experience because you're like, I can't call you out till you finish. maybe that's self-serving, but I'm like, I need you to finish this cut.
And I'm, could so I'm you just finish my there. Cut real quick?
I need you to finish this. And then this happened one time specifically where I was like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm the child of an immigrant. I'm from El Salvador. Do you think that about me? I don't remember what they said. It was something specifically about, like, anchor babies they were bringing. I'm not technically an anchor baby.
What?
But it was, like, this whole thing.
Well, he's
they were
cutting
going
your
on.
Hair?
Yeah. And I was, like, sitting there, like, finished. So I never went back to that Supercuts again.
You know what?
It was some cheap, like,
Supercuts.
It was, like, Great Clips or something. Like, it was one of those, like, little
what a
cheap
fucking
places.
Diabolical hair cutter. Like, hairdresser. Mm-hmm. Like,
to just think that it's
okay. I think, like, let me just say something very racist while I have scissors.
I have to believe, though, that it must give you a lot of confidence because I can't, I'm not the only one in the middle of a haircut of stuff. And it wasn't like overt. It wasn't
power.
Like, if it was, yet that you have such power in that moment because you know that everyone's like, oh, shit, I don't want to have to leave and go somewhere else.
Halfway or get through enough. The cut.
And it wasn't like overtly racist. Like, if it was something like where she was like, using like a racial. Like,
oh, it was a woman.
Like, but it was a woman. Yeah, but it wasn't something where it was so bad that I was like, because it was something that was so blatantly fucking racist. It was like a microaggression racist. Where I was like, I'm gonna hold my tongue until she finishes and then say something. which is also a privilege to be able to do in it itself. That's a whole nother discussion. But anyways, but it's so, like, people will say shit all the time. And that's what I'm saying. I have to believe it's like, oh, when you get, like, this little private mm-hmm. connection between people of privilege, that's got to make it. And then when nobody said, when somebody probably breaks the ice and says something once and everyone, and someone's smiley face reacts to it or it doesn't say something, they're like, oh, okay, this is the space where we can do these bad takes.
This is a safe... This is mm-hmm. a safe evil space.
Mm-hmm.
This is a safe space only for us.
We can
everyone
try
else,
out
this
these.
Is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's
different if they said something and it was like, oh, I made a mistake. I was like, that sounded worse than I wanted it to sound.
Right.
Versus like, was that good? Is that funny?
People make the mistake with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this outwardly. Mm-hmm. I'm looking very middle America.
Mm-hmm.
I look like I go to church probably.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely mm-hmm. look straight. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that. Although now it's a little bit better, but it used mm-hmm. to be very not noticeable. And like people have said things in front of me that goes very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they didn't have scissors, so I felt like I could yell at them or talk to them.
I always do say something. In that moment, I just wanted the haircut to be finished.
You had scissors and you were in the military. Yeah. I get it. You did say something after. But it's just like, it's scary though, because the times that it's happened to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, like you are one, way too comfortable with your shit, but also what the hell is going on? Like mm-hmm. what, like it's like, it's the same as like the locker room talk. It's like, what are these conversations when mm-hmm. people are completely unchecked? And it's mm-hmm. so scary to me because mm-hmm. like I said, people make the mistake with me, but not people. If you've talked mm-hmm. to me for like 10 minutes, you're not going to say that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to say anything sexist, racist, homophobic in my presence, but like, this is what's going on. This is what, like, literally, like, your government officials that are in mm-hmm. charge of supposedly taking care of you are mm-hmm. doing in their private chats. This could be your pastor. This could be your friends, your husband, your friend's husband, your dad's friends. Like, it's so scary to think about when these dudes get siloed. I'm sure when women are siloed, like a bunch of white women, is a horrifying place, I'm sure. But like, it's just, it's scary, like, how dark things got. Like, the things that were being said, it's not surprising, but like, in the context of what supposedly the group was, I was like, oh, if this is fair play, if nobody's scared to say this shit to each other, we got a big problem.
And it's also, don't pretend like that's the only place it's being said.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Like, oh, well, we have this, this is something we know it's okay, because we know that they don't actually think that
we're only racist, homophobic, and sexist here.
Right.
But when we get out of here, we don't have any of those beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me, like, when I'm around, like, when I've hung around with my gay friends who will make the most homophobic comments, but it's an in-group thing, right? Like, they'll say
stuff. But it's not really homophobic.
It's
different.
It's not really, because you're kind of joking about, like, or same thing, like, my, like, they'll say stuff where I'm like, I can't say that.
Well, of course. But that you're, that's because... you know you are not those things. You
exactly.
do not hold these beliefs. It's a joke within itself.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason. Like, I always get very annoyed when people are like, well, how come I can't say that? I'm like, what does it stand for historically?
Right.
What does it mean to you? Why do you want to say it so bad? Riddle me this. Why are you so desperate to say something horrifically racist, homophobic, whatever, sexist? Like, that says something about you. Like, the fact that you're fighting so hard to have the right to be terrible. Like, that makes me think you have an issue rather than me thinking we need to change the rules for other groups. Because, again, it's like, what does the joke mean to you and why do you find it funny? That's a big one.
I actually think this is a perfect lead into the clip that you haven't seen yet. This is a just one of those sweet spot videos where a guy is not only being sexist, not only is he being racist, but also confidently basically – that everyone agrees with him in the room with this racist and sexist belief. And even when people push against him, he's laughing at, like, you're fucking lying. Cause, and like, so I feel like this is something what happens when you're in this insulated community of only other
people. You think
you're
in a silo and you're not.
You think you're in a silo and then you're like, well, I mean, no one's ever disagreed with this before of my other racist, sexist friends. They also believe these things. So clearly, the world must. So it's about a minute long clip. I'm gonna let you hear what he has to say.
I'm gonna hate it. I already know I'm gonna hate it for two reasons. One, I see whatever in the background, so I know this is from the Whatever podcast, and I am not indifferent. I don't feel whatever about it at all.
No.
Also, the thumbnail they've chosen to use is a woman who is larger chested with her shirt barely existing, yet she does not appear to be the main character at all. And they just seem
I
to
don't
wanna,
even think she says a word in this clip. I think that was very
clearly.
They just
want to sexualize
her. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Taylor. I'm 18. I'm from Northern California. And I'm a helicopter mechanic.
Am I the only one? That's scary as hell. You are working on helicopters and we're just not going to make that a big deal. I mean, I don't want them. I mean, flying them is bad enough. You're working on them? Is that real?
Yeah.
Is your dad like a mechanic or something?
My dad actually used to work there. But...
Okay, see, that kind of makes me feel a little better. Because I'm a pimp on a blimp. I go on helicopters. And I, you know, no offense. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want a female pilot, much less a female mechanic. I haven't even thought about that later. Well, come on, you guys like female pilots. Listen, let's just be real for a second. You guys, when you walk on the plane, you don't feel a little better when it's a white guy compared to like a woman that could be on her cycle and, you know, or just got dumped by her boyfriend, is emotional. And no, we did not have her period, okay?
I prefer flying the airplane myself.
Yeah. Do you have a pilot license?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's so cool. Actually, my pilot on my way to LA was a woman.
And you were scared to death the whole time.
I was not, but I will I was surprised.
Look at that, because that's just your natural inclination. Well, but what I'm saying is, like, there are things that women can do better than men, and there's things men can do better than women. And I think flying or driving a car, I mean, could you imagine getting on a plane and it's a Chinese woman? I would not get on the plane. I mean, you know what I mean? A Chinese woman can't even drive a damn car.
The amount of whiteness and teeth in this video is absurd. I can't describe, if you're watching YouTube, you know, but it is like the whitest people you know. Like the CEOs of the mayonnaise factory at a table.
If you put AI, white men.
White politician. He doesn't even, he looks like a white pastor who's trying to take a swing at being the mayor.
Like a stereotype of what you would think of, like when you think of the evil.
You know what it is? It's the guy who knows there's a shark in the waters but doesn't want to close the beach. That's what the vibes this man is giving. And they're just like, there's something about the way that when white people are being awful, and I am white, we know this, show their teeth.
What?
Show their teeth. They're like, so the thing about that is I want to make this return when I don't have a receipt. Like, it's just, it's so much gum and teeth and mouth and no class and all audacity. That is what you see in this video. But this older, this white woman, maybe she's not older, I don't know, and this horrible dude are just grinning when they're talking about the Chinese pilot, the imaginary Chinese woman pilot. Oh my God, just go, ugh.
You can tell it's fucked up what he's saying when even the host of the podcast, who is a shithead, is like, you could tell he's like, I'm not gonna.
He didn't say anything. He had these rose colored glasses, and he's just sitting there in his weird little suit outfit.
And he's making a face like, I'm not gonna say anything, but I am gonna put this on my show, and I did invite this guy on, and I probably know this is exactly what his shtick is, because he has that other dipshit on all the time that makes these horrific comments.
I guess I'm always shocked at the audacity of a mediocre white man to speak that way. Like, there's literally nothing about him that is unique or interesting. He just hates women and other races. That's like, I honestly feel like when men don't have anything to say or aren't interesting, they just go sexist or racist because they're like, somebody will laugh at that.
It's the confidence in how he's like, first off saying like, I feel so uncomfortable with a woman being my mechanic. He calls himself a pimp on a blimp.
Did you hear that? I forgot about that. He says, bro, you have not had sex in the past 3 years. Please.
And the fact that he's like, and he's like, hold, and you could say he's like, no, you all believe this, right? And when he gets the negative, them like, no, he's like, and the woman that's talking to him though does that thing pisses me off so much, where they're like, you could tell she disagrees with them. But she doesn't want to say you're wrong because she wants to keep she's like, well, but I mean, I know we agree about, in general, about racism, about structure. I know that I like you. Like, it feel like, I want you to like me. I want you to pick me, right? And like, I don't want you to dislike me. I don't want to push against you.
Jesco, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Any woman on this show who is not coming to fight these men is a pick-me type of person because they are willing to sit there and listen to some of the most horrendous things caught on podcast or on video and just smile and be like, yeah. Because I do not believe you would do that for any other reason than you are willing to sacrifice any sisterhood to other women out there. And I guess any other race now. You're willing to sacrifice all that for a little bit of fame, a little bit of money, and a seat at the worst table imaginable. Like, you can pay me to sit there.
Yeah, I've seen people go on before that you could tell. I think they went on thinking, this will be stupid. This will be like, they've seen clips of the show thinking, I'll go on. This will be like, and there have been women that have left, gotten so upset, like left crying, I've seen throughout the years even. And because I think it's part of it is like it's kind of like thinking Matt Rife is funny because you saw his audience clips online and then showing up for the whole thing and being like, what the fuck is this? I think that's a very similar thing. They know walking in, there's going to be some shitty takes on this, but if they've only seen the viral clips, they probably don't know the level of depravity that the show will often go to, the degradation that is so key to what they say in this.
There was a woman, I can't remember her name right now, so I'll just tell the story. But I believe she was an OnlyFans model, and like she went on the show, and they were horrible to her. Mm-hmm. Not this show, a different show. I think it was like a British show. Mm-hmm. And just degraded her, disrespected her, and she, you know, came out after and was like, I had no idea that's what was going to happen. They were so nice before it started. And they were nice after.
And I think that's what happens.
Yeah, I think they I think they present, because that's the thing. Most of these guys are horrible, but they are performatively horrible to make money. Like, it's a facade. Mm-hmm. They are putting forth this horrific, like, persona to make money. And so I have no doubts they are not so as awful. I mean, they're as awful, but they aren't as outwardly awful before and after. I mean, these dudes will try and sleep with the women that they degrade. Like, they'll have them on their show, tear them to shreds, and then be in their DMs.
I think that's the strategy, though. They want to make them, it's a power move, right? They're trying, they're nagging them. They're trying to, like, hey, because it's right after, you know, after the show, they're like, hey, do you want to hang out? Do you want to go blah, blah, blah?
Hell no. Well, I wouldn't be on the show, but it's wild to me. And like, it's also so boring. It's so tired. It's like, dude, at least have an original thought. Like, I'm not down for any of these thoughts, but like, he's just like word vomiting the things I can read on my, you know, red thinking uncle's Facebook. Like the, it's like my uncle, my weird uncle's Facebook memes just regurgitated from this man's mouth. Like, he starts with the plane, then he goes to driving because women can't drive, and then he has to bring in Asian
makes a period joke as well.
Oh, he does make a period joke. Asian women really can't drive, and then he's got to mention he's a pimp. Like, do you think you're cool sitting at this table calling yourself a pimp on a blimp? I don't. I don't think you're cool.
Even statistically wise, most road rage incidents, most violent accidents from, like, and we're talking about the ones that, like, people die, the vast majority are from men. Like, it's actually, but the women cause that.
Obviously,
of course. Even when it's all men hitting another man in the, it must have been a woman.
It was a woman in the back.
It's something like that. Yeah, like there's more statistically more women are in more fender benders, like in minor accidents. But men are like it's close. It's like 55% to 45% or something like that. But when it comes to the actual road rage incidents or like ones that actually lead to violent outcomes or were like large crashes, it's something like 70 to 80%. I don't remember the exact stats. Somebody can fact check this out, but I made a video about it a long time ago that broke down the stats about it. It's not even close. So when they try to say like, why I'd much prefer a male pilot, right? Or a male driver, it's like, it's not, if you want to be safe, you don't want to prefer that, because unless you know that this isn't one of those guys that gets really pissed or he's not having a bad day, right?
You know what's crazy? I do a lot of driving for acting. I'm always driving different places. So I'm on the road a lot. The amount of times, like I'm a very, I think I'm a good driver. I'm a careful driver. The amount of times that men have gotten mad at me for, I honestly don't even know half the time. Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes it can be that there's traffic, period. The other day I was, I think this was last week, I had like a 5-hour car drive, and this guy was like two cars behind me, and then he like whips around and gets off on an exit. So we're not even going in the same direction, but because we're like, we're parallel for a little bit as he's like taking this like long kind of exit thing. And he just slams his middle finger into the window and he holds it for some time. Like I looked back, I checked and looked back again. He was still holding it. It was like two solid minutes. I still don't know what he was mad about or why I was the one that he was mad at. I don't know if he saw I was a woman in the car. He's like, her. I don't care about all the other vehicles. It's her. But, like, he held that middle finger. I've been flicked off so many times. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, who was that for? Like, what? Like, you just held it in the window. Like, I know your arm was getting tired, buddy. Like, what was that about? It's crazy, the road rage.
I don't think a lot of guys realize how different it is to be a driver as a woman as opposed to being a man. My wife is actually a much more aggressive driver in a good way than I am. I am such a safe driver. Like I am. It's just ever. I got in a head-on collision when I was 21 from hydroplaning. It wasn't like I didn't do anything bad, but ever since then, I have become like the most aggressively safe driver where I have all the spacing, everything. I don't tailgate. I'm very careful changing lanes, everything like that. So I am not what would like people don't like driving behind me because of the fact that I don't. I just kind of I'm like happy just being alive, being
I'm
safe,
doing my right, safe driving.
I never get flipped off. I never get yelled at. I never get cut off. I can count on one hand the amount of times it's happened in my entire life, right? My wife, on the other hand, who is actually much more aggressive in a, like I said, in a positive way, where she drives better, right? Has gotten brake checked, has had people drive up next to her screaming at her, the flipping off and everything. It's the second these aggressive dudes that are really like, I'm not going to say words, just dick. So I don't know the word I'm going to say. Like these guys that are these fragile
masculine. What were
you going to
say besides
that? I don't know what
that?
I was going to call them. I was trying to think of something like.
If you censored yourself and then said dicks, I shudder to think.
I don't know what I was going to. I was trying to think of a word that like, I'm like, I was going to say like the B word, but I don't like saying that word. And so I don't like.
Yeah, don't insult me.
Yeah, like I don't use like in general. I'm like, yeah, I was trying to think, what can I say that? I was like, that doesn't feel good.
Yes.
And so, I don't even say it jokingly. Like, it's not something I feel. Anyways, long story short, this dick. But it's these fragile masculine dudes.
Yes.
That drive, and they see it's a woman, and they're like, oh, this is sick. Because they don't do it to another guy. Because they're like, oh, this might. What if he's as fragile as I am, and he might get angry
ass.
Back at me? They do it sometimes to other guys, but it's far more common when they see it's a woman because they're like, oh, well, she's not going to tailgate. She's not going to try to fight me. She's not. I can safely be a horrific person to this woman without her doing anything because I know that she'll be scared I'm going to kill her, right? Versus if I do it to another man, he might try to kill me, right? And that's why it's a whole – I didn't realize, honestly, until like the amount of stories my wife would tell me, and it never happens when we're in a car together. Right. Even if I'm in the passenger seat, right? Right. The second something happens, you can tell someone gets angry, they see we're together, they drive off. Right. But she would come home with stories all the time. When we started dating, in my mind, I was like, what? Because I hadn't seen her driving it. I didn't much at that point. It's like, what are you doing? Like I was,
you must
I was
be
playing.
The worst driver.
No, part of me was like, man, I wonder if you're like, are you like a really shitty driver? Like I never said that, but I'm like,
right.
I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out because this is, you know, I'm a lot. This is 20 years ago at this point. It didn't even click in my head. And this is such a privileged thing. I want to admit because I think a lot of guys don't even think about it. That I was like, that doesn't happen to me. So it must just be that she's doing something to piss people off. And then it was very quickly. I was like, oh no, I forgot. Sexism exists, misogyny exists. We live in a very terrible world where men do that in all other facets of life. Why wouldn't it also happen on the road?
What's really fucked up is as a woman driving, when a car starts getting weird with you, you're like, is this going to be that he is aggressively threatening or he's doing something horrifically sexual towards me and I need to deal. Like you, like the fact that we live in a world that as the car approaches, I'm like, what's it gonna be? Which is it? It's like, I'm in danger either way, but like what type of danger am I in? Cause I have had, I don't even need to discuss that, but I've had like, like crimes kind of driving, but like, and like, it's just annoying shit too. Like revving, like at a stop, like revving your engine. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never been more laser focused on this light in my life. You will not catch me straying these eyes. So stop it. With your little souped up car or whatever you've done to it is worth more than the car, like the car itself. Leave me alone. I'm not interested. But like that's how it is. It's like they're either looking to scream at you or holler at
you. But no,
it's
women on their periods, which we got to be worried about on the road.
Are we still – like it's literally the misogynist comedian playbook. Yeah. It's straight from the 80s, maybe 70s, 60s possibly. Like,
oh boy.
You know, women on their periods. Like how – just – have an original thought. Like, if you're going to be horrific, at least be interesting, original, anything. Mm-hmm. But they just go on there and unload absolute nonsense like that. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, oh my, do you know, like, women will be literally bleeding out and having to do their job. I have never gotten, like, at work, I have never had something positive happen to me. And they're not allowed to rage out or cry, whatever this guy thinks. And I don't even know that he thinks that. I think he just, like, what's a thing only women have that I can rip on? Like, how about no emotional regulation? You certainly have that. That one, that's what I'm worried about.
And they don't realize, I think a lot of guys, because, like, especially if you are someone that has, you know, bad headaches or cramping, like, obviously most have some level of that, but if it, like, without disclosing too much, I know many women that have very bad cramping and pain. You see a guy with any sort of, like, headache, right, that if someone, like, that they're dealing with any even a minor injury, if someone talks shit to him, the rage that they will be, they will get back, the anger that they will, how fucking dare you? Like, because there's so much pent up there, and they don't understand that, that, yeah, if you're dealing with cramping, if you're dealing with headaches, if you're dealing with any number of the things that can happen from it, and then also then they have to deal with your bullshit, like your anger. Of course, they're like, yeah, women are so mean when they're under. No, you're just not. You're just an uncaring asshole who doesn't realize that when someone's dealing with something, maybe you need to adjust also how you're treating them and how you're talking to them in the same way that if it was another man, they would understand that. Oh no, he just he's dealing with an injury.
An injury from high school. I often think about, like, if men were sat down and, like, doctor comes in and they're like, hey, I don't know how to tell you this, but you are absolutely going to be bleeding from your privates. Like, screaming, throwing things. What's happening? And they're like, well, it's going to be every month for about a week. Sometimes your stomach's going to hurt so bad you feel like you're going to be physically ill. You might get physically ill. You're going to get, like, headaches. And the amount of blood loss, you might actually get a little faint with it. Like, you're, that's how much blood's coming out of your private. Like, no way. They can you imagine how they would respond? They'd be like, I can never work again. I have to call out for the rest of my life.
Do you need a week off for that? That's my week off.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, I can't imagine how they would respond if they were given that. And, like, women are just expected to be like, yeah, don't even, but also don't tell us about your tampons because those are gross. Don't let us see them. Do tampon drug deals.
Yeah, when she brings up this idea of men are on a cycle as well, he writes it off completely as like, no, men are never, men are never angry. He's like, how fucking dare you? I mean, like, the amount of anger that was in, he was laughing about it, but there was also that that moment of, like, careful with how you respond to me, that weird kind of, like, he was like, I need you to be clear, that's not true. Tell me that's not true right now.
Yeah, well, and then she's our pilot. She's getting her pilot's license, and he did not want to talk about that. He was like,
When the reality is, and this comes from anything, if you're talking about doctors, pilots, et cetera, the amount of structural things you have had to overcome if you are a woman, if you're a woman of color especially. Like, if I have a black woman come into my room as my doctor, I know I'm safe, right? Yep. You have had to be twice as good in most of your classes. You have had to overcome with so many of your higher-ups writing off what you're doing and having to overcome all of these fucking structural shit that they don't want to admit exists to still then achieve and become where you are. You know your shit, right? You're going to be better than the guy that always was given the benefit of the doubt, that always had everything handed to him throughout there.
When he literally was like, oh, was your dad a mechanic? Okay, well, now I feel safer. It's like, you're just being sexist. That doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
It was like, oh, somehow are you talking about? It's not like genetic.
Yeah.
Like, I have the mechanics gene.
That's I didn't realize that. So it's kind of like your dad's kind of my mechanic. Even though it's you doing it, it's really him.
Through you.
He taught you. Okay, I get it. Yeah. You had a male. I was worried you also had a female teacher that taught you how to be a mechanic. That, ugh. What am I going to do?
Then I'm dead.
It's like when, what's his face? Was it Ben Shapiro or Matt? It was someone of those dipshits that was that talked about how they feel uncomfortable when they about a black woman doctor. I think it was like, there was example or was a pilot or whatever. It was one of those. I made a response video to it. It was either a pilot,
probably Ben Shapiro,
one of these things. And I was like, no, you're just fucking racist. That's all it is. You're just sexist. Like there's this shouldn't be like, not to toot my own horn, but I've never felt that way because I haven't, because I'm not a fucking horrific person, right? Like never in my mind have I walked in and seen a female pilot and been like, fuck. Oh my God. I need to get another plane. I need to get off this plane. Never. There's nothing in my head has been, and that's not a flex. That just means I'm not a horrific person.
I honestly feel like these men are completely, the ones that act like this, have no emotional regulation. They have all these pent up, like, horrible thoughts, horrible emotions. They have nowhere for them to go because they're not going to therapy, clearly. They're probably not talking to their wives. Their friendships are not deep and emotional because they can't be, you know, vulnerable with other men, God forbid. So they just have this, like, swirling death spiral of all these emotions. And they are just constantly looking for a woman anywhere to just hurl them at. Like, mm-hmm. I think there is a sense of relief that, like, okay, I have an excuse to be horrible towards this person. Like, mm-hmm. I guarantee you when there's road rage and they pull up and they see a woman, they're like, yes, mm-hmm. I knew it was a woman. I hate whatever. Like, women mm-hmm. are bad drivers. It's like they just need something to hurl it at that they can feel justified about. Mm-hmm. That doesn't turn back into like, oh, you actually just can't control your own emotions. That's what the problem is. Mm-hmm. No, it has to be this external thing that's causing you to act like an asshole. You're not an asshole. Mm-hmm. It's just there's a woman pilot today. So mm-hmm. that's why you're berating the flight attendant. Like, please. Please.
They're constantly seeking out a safe space to be a jerk, right?
Yeah, a sexist safe reason right. to do that, yeah.
Well, I mean, to your point, you brought up even a while back too, like you see this all the time in pop culture, like where people get so excited, and I've said this before, but like where they get so excited when there's a socially acceptable time to be sexist or racist or homophobic. It's when somebody that they don't like, a group that they are taught, that they know. And it's especially, you see it all the time. This is not a political thing either, because you see people that are on the surface very much saying the right things, but then, oh, here's my chance, right? I get to say the most depraved, sexist, racist, whatever shit.
Yep.
Because it's allowed. Because everyone agrees this is a shitty person. So as long as I focus it on them, I can say it. And then you look at their page, they've never made a post about anyone else ever, right? They make cooking content, right?
And yeah, it's like, but they're like, well, I just but
felt
today. Like
this was the time where mm-hmm. it felt like I needed to let everyone know how I felt about Amber Heard, right? Even though I've never made a single comment about anything in pop culture or politics ever, let's talk about her for an hour on this, or let's talk about X. And you see it like that. That's just, I think that was one of the bigger examples in recent memory, but you see it all the time.
I just did a video about Jelly Roll because him and Bunny EXO are, I don't mm-hmm. know, if she, I think she might have a book coming out. I don't know, but all of a mm-hmm. sudden they are just really doing a lot of interviews about the time that he cheated on her. And what I thought was very interesting was that, like, they were in a somewhat open relationship. She had said, we can bring in a third. Mm-hmm. Like, we can make this work. If you want to bring someone else in, and instead he cheated, didn't tell mm-hmm. her, got with his ex for over a year, and gaslit her by her own accord, like, and they kind of push themselves as like this true love couple, this great couple. Mm-hmm. I'm not into struggle love. I don't love that. Anyways, mm-hmm. I was just addressing like some of those issues mm-hmm. and the amount of fat phobia.
Mm-hmm. That was the next thing I was going to bring
out. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not engaging with that. I'm not into that. Mm-hmm. The thing that sucks is the way he treated her. The things that mm-hmm. sucks is he betrayed her. That's mm-hmm. the bad thing about him. But out of, you know, men are doing it, women are doing it, and it's mm-hmm. just like just really fat phobic mm-hmm.
You see it all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like insults, just gross. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not the problem. Mm-hmm. His weight has nothing to do with it. And, right. you know, of course, they have a problem with she's traditionally attractive, I think. And he, mm-hmm. you know, he was more heavy set. It's like all this shit that I'm like, did mm-hmm. you just want to come in here and say fat phobic shit? Because that's not mm-hmm. what my page is. Like, I don't like this man. I don't like his views. He's a Trumper. I'm not down for him. I'm not down for fat phobia. I don't care mm-hmm. who it is. Like, I'm not that type of person where it's like, like, if we don't like someone, this is a safe space. No, it's actually mm-hmm. not. I will defend, and I have defended people.
Right.
Even if I don't get along with them, like, don't say fucked up shit, basically.
Because it's, because Jelly Roll's not going to see your comment, but the somebody else that is, like, with his body shape or that's also in there is reading it and seeing exactly. how you actually feel about people, about what you're thinking on the inside when you see them.
That's exactly it.
You see it with Caitlyn Jenner. Where people are like, sweet, I can misgender Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, I hate
made videos
that.
About that in the past where I'm like, no, you can't. Like, it's I fucking hate Caitlyn Jenner. I'm like, she's the worst. Terrible. She is absolutely worst. She hates trans people.
I know.
Oddly, you know, like she pushes all this stuff that's horrible. Yet, I still, I don't need to misgender her to critique all the horrible things that she says, right? That doesn't change. She is a horrible person regardless. And what I am doing when I misgender someone is admitting that there's a line you can cross where I decide to no longer respect your gender, that I no longer believe. Like this, you better stay on my good side or else I'm going to say I can do that to you too.
It sets a precedence that mm-hmm. your personhood can be revoked mm-hmm. if we disagree. Mm-hmm. And that is entirely fucked up.
Right.
And if you do that, like no trans person should ever feel like that. Like mm-hmm. I have had people, because I'm a member of the queer community, mm-hmm. like who trans people who have wronged me in some way that I am mm-hmm. no longer close with. If someone misgenders them, and this has happened before, it was not on purpose, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. But I corrected that. And do I have any good feelings towards this person? No, but you're not mm-hmm. going to misgender somebody. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them being good or bad. I like them, I dislike them. It's do you accept their personhood, period. Mm-hmm. And it gets really dodgy when we start revoking people's rights and personhood simply because mm-hmm. we disagree. And to me, it's the same thing that we've been talking about this whole episode. It's like, I actually have some fucked up beliefs mm-hmm. and I'm just looking for an avenue. I really want to get this out there. I want a socially acceptable way that I can say these things. And we do see this more on the left because I think in a lot of right spaces, it is acceptable. There, you know, mm-hmm. like across the board, you're not, probably not going to get in trouble for saying that. But mm-hmm. in leftist spaces, it's like once the critique is open – mm-hmm. then you start seeing fucked up. You'll start to see, you'll see transphobia. You'll see racism. Like that's mm-hmm. a big one where I'm like, whoa, that's a microaggression.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I am never going to mm-hmm. be about that.
Yeah, look at any Candace Owens comment section and you're going to see a lot of racist people on the left saying some shit.
Oh, mm-hmm. And it's just like, I need people to understand that like, I love you. You say this often when we talk mm-hmm. about this conversation, where you talk about like it's not about the person. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you shouldn't do that to the person either, but mm-hmm. it's about the people reading that. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, the people who agree with you, who live in a bigger body or mm-hmm. a black person or a woman, whatever mm-hmm. you're being horrible about. They're seeing that too. You're affecting them. Like mm-hmm. the world is not going to say, oh, just in this case, you can be horrible and mm-hmm. take away what makes them a human being. That's not how it works. You mm-hmm. are still being horrible. Like you are just setting the precedence that, yeah, I can, if you don't do what I say, mm-hmm. if you don't do what I like, then I'll be horrible. And that type of conditional relationship with someone or a group of people is really horrifying and is very much a symptom of patriarchy and power mm-hmm. and control.
It's also admitting that this basic level of humanity is mm-hmm. in your mind a level of benevolence, right?
You are
the status quo should be that you are not being sexist, that you not being, you know, racist, not being transphobic, not being queerphobic, et cetera, any level, any obic, fat, being fatphobic, there, that should just be the status quo. But if you're revoking it, you know, then you are admitting, oh, well, all right, well, I'm no longer going to give you the gift of hiding how I really feel about you.
This is why I fucking love being on a podcast with you, Chesco, because that is exactly the shit. That's the fucking feeling it is. I don't, you maybe have felt it before. I've certainly felt it as a queer person. Like, mm-hmm. someone who's cool, like, you know, someone who seems cool, in quotes, right, mm-hmm. with you being gay, and then, like, you have a disagreement with them, mm-hmm. and you can feel the tension of them actually wanting to say something. Like, mm-hmm. cool until it affects me, right? Cool mm-hmm. until it's a problem for me. I'm okay with it, but then the second, like, a queer person does something to them, or like, making things fair for all mm-hmm. gives them a little less, mm-hmm. you see this kind of shift in the way that they're talking all of a sudden, and that shit is horrible, because mm-hmm. it is, to your point, it's like, the undercurrent and the subtext of that is, oh, no, I've given you a gift by mm-hmm. treating you as an equal. Mm-hmm. This is it's like nice guy shit, you know? I've mm-hmm. given you this gift. I can take it away. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to play by my rules, like, this is a plus. I don't even have to do this. And it's very scary for people in marginalized communities to feel that from people. Knowing, like, okay, I thought you were just cool with me, but, like, is this something where if you don't like what's happening, which we're mm-hmm. seeing now in droves, it's like all these people who are all about it now taking a couple steps back because mm-hmm. it's not convenient.
Well, it's kind of like anymore. When – I think it's also when people don't understand why I can say, like, oh, yeah, I'm sexist. I'm racist. I have all these mm-hmm. things. You're never done with that journey. It's like you didn't all of a sudden gain the anti-racist card and now you are finished with that journey. That being an ally is a process as opposed to an achievement. And I think it's because of the fact if it takes work, right, if you have to think about it, if it feels mm-hmm. like you're doing the good mm-hmm. things as opposed to just living in that space, then yeah, you still have more work to do. And I think that's a process you will have for any good person. And that regardless of what community you're a part of, that you have to continue working at and unpacking and thinking about and reevaluating as the world changes as well. Because the second you stop doing that, then you fall back into the group that is doing the harm again.
I think one of the things that gets them the most, and particularly with like white women and white men, which I have learned so much as we talk about, like, unlearning things and learning things. Mm-hmm. There's so many black women that talk about this concept of good. Where mm-hmm. white women and white men, like, there's an obsession with I'm a good person. No, I'm a mm-hmm. good I'm a good nice one. Mm-hmm. And so when met with criticism and feedback of, like, actually that's not good. Like mm-hmm. actually that's not nice what you're doing for me. Like that was racist, or that mm-hmm. was a microaggression, or that made me feel some kind of way, or hey, you're not thinking about how that affects me, or, like, the context, the difference between how we've lived, you know, one mm-hmm. of those. And they are so obsessed with the need to be good mm-hmm. that they then do not actually do the right thing. They don't choose to be mm-hmm. right. They don't choose to learn because they're so afraid of, like, well, I'm not a bad person. Mm-hmm. How dare you call me a bad person? Like, that's always – I've had this happen to me so many times where mm-hmm. I, like, will try to critique somebody mm-hmm. and be like, hey, I don't – no, if you know how that came off, they're like, mm-hmm. I'm not a bad person. Mm-hmm. I would never. And you're like, whoa, that's not what the argument, though. We're not talking about good versus bad. We're, like, talking right. about just, like, the facts of the experience. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people are like, oh, no, if you're going to make me feel not good, if I don't mm-hmm. get a high off of this, if I don't feel like a good person, mm-hmm. I'm going to revoke this. I'm going to go back to whatever seat of privilege I feel comfy in mm-hmm. because I don't like that I'm uncomfortable right now.
I have a great example of that exact thing happening in my DMs once. This is like 3 years ago. Someone made a someone wrote in my comments, they said, would you date a trans woman? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, first off, I'm married. Right. That was the. I was like, problem one. Yeah, I was like, and I answered honestly. I was like, absolutely. If I was a single guy, that wouldn't be a marker for me that I was like,
sure,
absolutely not. Right. I would absolutely explore, et cetera. And someone DM'd me and they're like, you know, you don't have to say that. And it was a straight woman. And she was like,
what?
She was like, you don't have to say that you would, like, you don't have, like, you know, that doesn't make you a bad person if you wouldn't. And I was like, well, that wasn't the point of the video. The point of the video was just them asking, but you could tell she was struggling with this tension of like, well, no, that you don't, that you're still a good, I'm still a good person, even though I wouldn't date a trans person. Mm-hmm. Right. That doesn't make me a bad person. I was like, I didn't say anything about whether or not that made you a good or bad person. I think those terms are, it's not as simple as just one thing. You don't just become the, it goes back to the allyship. You didn't get the ally badge, et cetera. But she didn't. And then when I responded, I was like, well, I'm being honest. Right. And this, I had another, when I made the LaCroix video, about like sexual,
where one of my faves.
Yeah. Which once again goes back to the idea, I'm wondering if I am on the demi spectrum of like the way the more I learn about it, I think I am, I don't know enough yet to say that, but it does, there's a lot of overlap with the way I view attraction.
Yes.
But it was somebody that was, they were like, you know, you don't, it was this very similar, like, I don't know why you felt the need to make this video. I was like, because, well, first off, someone asked me.
First off, I find it really scary. Mm-hmm. Those conversations really scare me because I'm like, oh God, what is this?
Right.
This is what I believe, which is why I said it. The fact that you're trying to bring me into the, like we said, these side, like a little silo, like, hey, you're cool. You don't have to perform for everybody.
I think it's kind of like with men, we're like, whoa, let's keep the bar low here. You're raising the bar a little too, like you know, we're only supposed to meet this level. This is all we need to do to be a good white or a good man or a good whatever, good straight or a good whatever.
It's creepy. Like,
it's very weird. And it happens more often than people realize where they're like annoyed by the fact that you're more like open about something than they are.
Yeah. You and I are built the same with like just logic. Mm-hmm. Like I always get frustrated when people want to act like, oh, well, this isn't happening. Like these silos aren't happening. People don't have these conversations. Like, especially like the people in the white community. But like men will do it. White women will do it about black women. There's so much about that. But it's like, that's bullshit. Because if you're a part of that group, you've been in a weird situation. I've been in a room where there you can feel a tonal shift where someone says something a little off color. You can feel people testing boundaries where people say things they would normally never say, whether or not you address it or not. I hope you do would address it. But like, we all know that shit goes on. It's so annoying because so many people are like, that's not happening. You know it's happening. If you were in the privilege group, you know exactly, you know it's happening. You know that you have privileges. We see people using them. Like, it just drives me nuts. I'm like,
I have a great analogy to like this because it's so funny. This is another one from like, we're talking about a lot of stuff I apparently talked a lot about like 4 years ago. I'm remembering old videos.
4 years ago.
Where somebody said, why is it that, I don't remember the exact question, but it was like, why is it that every white person I know has said they've never heard someone say the N-word, or they've never heard someone saying racist, or like nobody around them. And the analogy I gave, and this is a true story, is that I used to live right underneath the flight path. Right. And in the beginning, it was like deafening. It was like the room shook, everything. It was every time a plane went over, we would like get ready for it. But after a while, we didn't hear it anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're hearing something so much, that it becomes background noise, that's what happens. And I was like, do you see the analogy right there? And I think it's because a lot of people are like, well, people aren't saying it. No, you're just not noticing it. Right, you're in a place of privilege enough to not have to think about it because it didn't affect you personally, and that alone doesn't make you a bad person, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the unwillingness to acknowledge that stuff still exists and that you may just not be hearing it because it means you might still have some more work to do. It means you might have just become accustomed to it. It means you might even agree with it and not realize it. And that's something that's really hard for people to swallow.
Yeah, I think if you're more concerned about your goodness or your niceness or being a good person, or I didn't see that, I would stop that. Mm-hmm. If that is your concern versus the horrific behavior that other people are telling you they are experiencing, if you are more concerned with keeping your bubble bubbled and feeling good about yourself than you are with true injustice, like to your point, I think you need to reflect and make some changes because you are not as good of a person as you believe yourself to be if your identity of good means more than actual good things for everyone.
That's a great ending note for the show today.
What a happy, peppy show.
It's a nice light show of where we cover the spectrum of discriminatory behavior in a society. Comedy show, labeled as a comedy.
It's because you didn't do any visual pranks. That's what happened.
See, that's the problem. If you want to hear the tone. Reagan and I's private group chat thoughts, join our Patreon and we do a pre-show of our unfiltered. And that is what we are. We are fully unfiltered on there. Unfortunately, I don't believe we've shared any cancelable takes.
I don't think so.
Maybe some to cancel to some groups. Like,
well, we just did our, what was our, we did our hot takes today. So
yeah, we did do our hot takes today. So usually probably people, we don't care if they dislike us anyways, like misogynists and.
They already like, hate me.
The KKK hates me. Well, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank
Find
you
us
guys
online.
For being here. Yeah.
I don't normally do the ending, and I'm like, hey.
I know. Hey, bye. We have the links that with the episode. Make sure to check out our socials. As Chesco said, we have our Patreon. Chesco and I will be seeing each other next week for the first time. Mm-hmm. We'll keep you posted
An
on all that.
An in-person show next week. I mean, for
us. I'm so scared. I think it's going to be insane. Just like... just like you, no one's gonna understand a word we say, just tangent after tangent.
So, like every other show,
visual breaks. Okay, friends, we will see you next week. Bye.
I love you.